Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new
spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one,
spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Time to get real and welcome everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington, and I'm excited, as usual, for today's show. We have a special guest today, George Lizos.
Lizos.
Oh, excuse me, darling. George Lizos. Excuse me. I should have asked.
I don't mind it.
Lizos. I love it. What we're going to do before we get to our guest, doesn't he sound cool? What we're going to do is we're going to tell all my new listeners what the heck, what is Reality Spirituality? What does that mean? What kind of show is this? I'm so glad you asked. Reality Spirituality, it's not a religion. It's a show. It's a guide. It's a guide to living connected. Living connected to the most powerful energy source. Some people use the term higher power, source energy, God. I use the term universe. And this show is about how to live connected in every moment to the universe, because you actually can. I'm proof. Am I connected every moment? No, I'm not, but I know that when I'm disconnected, and everybody, you can feel when you're disconnected from the universe. It's you can feel when you're plugged in or plugged out. This show teaches and shares ideas, strategies, different behaviors, different perspectives on how to. We all know the concepts. We all know laws of travel. We all know that, but how do we do it? How do we live a way that keeps us peaceful inside? I'm talking about an internal peace. An internal contentment, knowing that everything is in order. Everything that happens to us is really for our betterment. And there's a yikes. George found the courage to accept his uniqueness and rise from the ashes. Inspired by the fabled world of magic and spirituality, he ventured on a journey of transformation and self-discovery. Welcome, George. Welcome, George Lizos, to the show. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you for having me, Rebecca. I'm so excited to be here. There's nothing I enjoy more than having a spiritual conversation with a like-minded person.
Well, listen, ditto.
And I'm excited to hear that you like Abraham, because Abraham's probably the hugest fan of Abraham Hicks. And that's one of my favorite quotes as well.
Oh, wow. Okay, so here we are. We're getting off to a fabulous start.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to come back to Abraham. Well, no, I'm going to come back to Abraham. Please remind me to come back to Abraham. I want you to give a little bit of your background, you know, from your own lips. The beginning, just a little bit of the beginning, and what really turned it around for you. When I mean turned it around, I mean what started you, what was the beginning of this enlightenment, this awareness? What was the beginning? A little bit of the background, and what is the beginning of the awareness?
It is an interesting story. It starts very sad, but it ends in an empowering way, and that's what matters. So I grew up in a small and very conservative society of Cyprus. Cyprus, my mother was growing up in the 90s. Gay people were considered to be pedophiles, cr- dreaming of, and generally the people that parents told their children to stay away from. So that went completely against my grand plan of being perfect and of becoming accepted and just being normal. And I simply could not let people perceive me as a gay person because I thought that my future would be completely doomed. And therefore, as a perfectionist, I decided to approach the situation like all other goals in my life. I would have to change myself from gay to straight, step by step, as if it was that easy. So that was the time when I entered the two most depressing and destructive years of my life. In the course of 2 years, I tried to modify every single aspect of myself that could betray my sexuality. I monitored the way I talked, the way I walked, my hand gestures. I even practiced in front of the mirror to try to act in a straight way. And there is nothing more destructive, an all-powerful shift that saved my life, literally. At that moment, I decided that I had a choice, that I could simply accept the fact that I was different, embrace my freakiness, and just deal with it. And I think that what changed me was the fact that in the decision to end my life, I released all that resistance I was holding up inside me, all that pushing against the problem that Abraham talks about. For 2 years, I was pushing against the problem, and by not accepting myself, I couldn't allow the answer to flow into my life. So in my decision to take my life, I think I surrendered all my pain and all my struggle, and everything became apparent. The solution became apparent. And that was a shift in perception that led me to my spiritual path. So at the time, I was reading the Harry Potter books, so I was fascinated by the way that J.K. Rowling merged magic and love in such a beautiful way. And I resonated with the idea of bringing some aspects of that magic in all the experiences and dramas of our lives to find the blessing behind the obstacle is the way to go about it. And therefore, the aim of this interview, from my perspective, is to share processes and ideas that will help people empower themselves and to know by the end of this 1 hour that they were born to thrive. So that was my story, in a nutshell.
Well, in a nutshell, oh my.
Where it all starts.
Okay, and talking about the concepts of love yourself, how do you love yourself? How do you do that?
The way that worked for me, the process that worked for me, was a very powerful process by Louise Hay. It's called mirror work. So you simply take a mirror and you watch yourself in the mirror, you look at yourself in the mirror, and you say the simple statement, I love you. Now, the first time I did it, I burst into tears. And I know that many people, when they do that...
...to show that my journey... Talking about time, I mean, if you look at a man-made concept of time, years and years and years, and I'm still evolving. We're still evolving every single moment, every single day. One of the things I like to say is you don't plant a rose bush. You don't plant a seed, fertile ground, you water it, and then you scream at the rose bush every single day or scream at the seed, grow, grow, bloom, bloom, grow, bloom. You don't do, you know, it comes in its perfect time. One of the things you said, though, you talked about getting to this point where you were so sick and tired, you were so exhausted, you were so, you know, beaten down that you wanted to take your life, which I can't even imagine that state. I can't even imagine being there.
It's all about momentum. It's all about momentum. You start by a simple thought. I don't like myself this way. I don't like my nose. I don't like my way. I don't like my body. And when you start repeating that thought, it gains momentum and you attract people and experiences to match up to that belief. And step by step, you introduce more negative beliefs, more negative thoughts. And 2 years in time, you are in that place. You are in that place where you look at yourself in the mirror and you're like, you need a flow of guidance and inspiration. That's what inspiration is, letting spirit inside you. We have all this access to this powerful energy. And therefore, when you hit your knees and pray, then you allow yourself to be vulnerable, to surrender all that resistance and all the struggle. And when you surrender, that act of surrendering that is achieved through prayer allows you to become aligned with who you really are and receive the answer. And that's what...
Oh, master. I mastered the ability to, well, let's say the illusion of control, okay, because it's really it's an illusion. And to be able to tell the universe or say to the universe, okay, I give up. I like to say that the universe is driving this beautiful limousine and I'm in the back seat and I'm letting the universe drive. But to get to that point of giving up, it didn't just happen on one day for me. It happened, I don't know why I'm yelling. It really is excitement because, I mean, I'm really on a, woo! But the giving up and the surrendering for me was really, took a process. It just didn't happen on one day on my knees like you did. And so one of the things you said too about perspectives, we all are so different. So how I surrender and how I continue to surrender, what are we, twins or something? What are we related? What's up? I didn't know I had a twin somewhere. Where are you? What?
Co-created experience at its best.
Yes, yes. You know, one of the things I want to say, however, I do want to say, you said, because I was reading all of your, not all of them, as many articles, as many blogs as I could this morning, and I just fell in love with you even more. Before I even got you on the show, I said, I love this guy. I love the first one is Living a Double Love, why it's okay to love two people at the same time.
That was my latest one, and I'm so excited about this. I never thought that could be possible, but I experienced it this year, and that's why I had to write about it. And the premise behind that is because many people have a misconception when it comes to love. When we talk about love and when we see love in TV shows, in movies, in novels, we're really talking about codependency and movies showing us couples that complete each other and they can't live without each other. That's codependency. It's all codependency. And unfortunately, we watch all those TV series and movies, and that's ironic because I included a scene from True Blood in the actual article.
Yeah.
I'm addicted as well. But at least now I understand the difference. I understand that what they are portraying is codependency, and what is real is unconditional love. No expectations, just loving for the sake of it.
You know, number one, yes. Number two, yes. Number three, yes, yes, yes. But the interesting thing, too, is because it's, you know, labels. It's you say codependency, and it's even, for me, it's even more than that. It's even more than that. We were taught this concept of love. We were taught that you, especially in this country, in the United States, where you find someone, you live happily ever after, and if that person doesn't, this is my definition of love. I love you regardless of what you do, and I love you regardless of what you don't do, period.
Exactly.
And you're absolutely right. Of course you can love more than one person at the same time. But the interesting thing is you really have to get to a point where you could care less.
Trusting negative experiences and seeing them from a positive perspective. And the way I like to define spiritual growth is about constantly shifting your perspective so that you can perceive every single situation from the eyes of source and from the eyes of love. And that was a journey for me as well, as you were talking about, when you talked about surrendering. That was also a journey for me, learning to accept myself and to love myself, and to come to this point where, because I love myself so much, beginning a negative life to being positive and to being empowered 24/7, or at least in the majority of time in our day. And what I find out is that we have to have a spiritual a daily spiritual practice to find something that resonates with us, that helps us connect with who we really are, and practice it on a daily basis. It's like any other meal. You eat something to maintain your physical well-being, and you need a spiritual practice to maintain your...
My feet, I have no shoes on. That means I'm barefoot. Go out into the street or even on the sidewalk or even on the grass. I look up in the sky and I say, Universe, give me your day. Give me this day. Make this day the best day. Give me your day. Work through me. I want to be like you. 1, 2, 3, I'm back in the house, and that's how I do it.
Rebecca, that's meditation, actually. That's meditation in action. And I love when you talk about your theater and the flowers and the sky. I love that you get outside because you're actually getting to connect with the fairies. And that's when most people lose me.
Oh, no. Fairies.
We're talking about the fairies.
No. I like it. Fairies. Let's go. What? Tell me about the fairies.
When I tell people about the fairies, the first thing that comes to your mind is that teeny tiny little Tinkerbell that flutters all around singing Selena Gomez's Fly to Your Heart. However, that's not what I mean. When I'm talking about the fairies, I'm really talking about the consciousness of nature. And let me give you an example. So when you go out in the morning and you see a beautiful flower, you see a tree, and you feel all that ease and that happiness and that euphoria, that feeling that you're feeling is not entirely yours. That feeling was created as a result of your interaction with that flower or with that tree. So that in-between emotion that you're feeling at that moment is the spirit and the consciousness exuded by the sky, exuded by the wind, by the sun, by the flowers, by the trees. And as you blend your energy and your consciousness with that energy, then you uplift yourself. So you are, in effect, working with the fairies every single morning.
I know that. I just didn't know what...
You're empowering yourself.
I know that. I just didn't know what to call it.
Exactly. Now you do. You can go, hi, fairy.
That's,
you can name it as well.
That's so interesting. I love that. I love that. Okay. Remember I said, well, let's go back to when you said you were found out that you were, not found out, but you realized that you were gay.
Yeah.
And the problems or the challenges you had with that.
The challenges I had with that, the most important challenge was bullying, basically. I was bullied at school, and that was because I bullied myself. And in the years of dealing with bullying, I learned two important things about it. First thing is that bullies bully themselves, because the reason that you have the urge to berate another person, to call another person a name, is because you feel insecure in who you really are. You're not aligned with who you really are, and you feel unworthy. And therefore you believe that by berating another human being, you're going to feel better and more worthy about yourself. Positivity, I exuded empowerment, and people could see their own empowerment through me. I was no longer a shadow. I was the light, and people could see their loving light through me. And by exuding all that empowerment, I believe that I also helped them see their own empowerment through them, and therefore heal their own internal bullying eventually.
Ooh-wee. So interesting. Just this week, you're absolutely right with self-bullying. I've never heard that term, but it's the same thing, self-criticizing. But I like self-bullying. It's just such a powerful concept. And one of the things that I realized just this week, because I'm still evolving, and I had to admit this to myself, and I hope nobody's listening, is that I have said things or say things to people, not everybody. There's like three people in my life that I'm still trying to work through, flow through, get through, because whatever they're bringing me I need it. So I'm like, okay, universe, what is it? How do I do it? How do I get to this place of peace in this relationship? And one of them is I discovered that behind it is to shake them, and don't you realize, in a way to, I'm looking at it as uplifting or making them even more aware, but getting back to me saying things on purpose, that has got to stop. That has stopped, and I'm stopping that. A couple of days ago, I said, oh, gotta get rid of that one. Even the smallest thing, and I'm not talking about saying things like, you sure are stupid and you sure are ugly. No, I'm talking about just a little bit of zip, zip, zip right at the hip.
The hardest thing in changing myself from going from negative to positive was having to deal with my relationships in my life, because the universe always matches us up with people and experiences that match our vibration. So when I was being negative all those years ago, and when I was in that negative momentum of attraction, I established relationships with people that resonated with my own negativity. And so when I made the decision to take a positive approach and to change my life, I inevitably had to change my relationships as well. It happened genuinely and naturally because I changed my vibration, and therefore I no longer resonated with the people that I used to resonate with. And therefore they inevitably had to flow out of my life. But that was the hardest thing for me to do. But we need to realize that what makes it easy, able to say to ourselves, no, I want to be good, I want to be positive, I want to be loving, and therefore these people have to go. And you don't need to aggressively push them out of your life. We can always do it assertively, because I found out that spiritual people are very sensitive in general. Therefore, we don't like conflict. We don't like pushing people away from us. Therefore, how can we do that in a way that resonates with our temperament, with who we really are? And we do it assertively. We let the people know that we love them and we respect them, but we no longer resonate with them anymore. We can do that either in prayer, either by visualizing that in our mind's eyes, or by doing it up front. And what works for me is doing it during my meditation. I do like a fast visualization meditation where I picture the other person sitting in front of me and I express assertively whatever I have to tell them, and I let them go. And I always make sure to surround both of them, because our vibrational frequencies resonate. We think in a similar way, we feel in a similar way most of the time, and therefore we have similar interests and a similar way of approaching life. There comes a point, because every day is an experience, and every day we change through all those experiences, that we have different experiences, and therefore we change in different directions. So there will come a point when inevitably those relationships will come to an end, and we need to be
something from them.
Spiritually, you mean?
No. Not, no, not spiritually, no. I want them to be different. I want them to see the light. I want them to change. I want something from them. I want them to look at me a certain way. That's number one. I want something from them. Number two, I expect an environment in those three relationships that I struggle with, and honestly, for me, that is with any relationship, coworkers, any future people I'm going to meet. Number one, I cannot want anything from them. Remember, I said earlier the definition of love is I love you regardless of what you do, regardless of what you don't do. No wanting, no expectations, and no agenda. And when I have all of that working, I am the universe. This is how the universe is in a relationship. Because honestly, like you said earlier, I'm more a spiritual and universe than I am a human. So my thing is to be the example of the universe in this human body. So I am gradually getting to the place, nope. Like, when I say want something, I want you to stop being cheap. I want you to stop being so moody. I want you to stop being so sensitive. I want you to stop being so closed-minded. I want you to stop being so negative. All of those things are what I want. And I cannot do that anymore. That is the key for me to having a peaceful relationship with anyone. Your opinion, please.
Well, an interesting teaching that really resonated with me when it comes to your exact situation is by Louise Hay, that whatever we don't like in other people are usually the aspects we don't like about ourselves, or stare looking into your eyes for 10 minutes. And absolutely sure, I'm absolutely sure that you're going to start crying in the 10 minutes in doing that. And that's because when you look at yourself in the mirror, you let go of the mask, you let go of the pretense, and you see your truth, you see your authenticity, and you can see yourself exactly as you are. You no longer try to pretend you're good, you no longer try to pretend that you love a living creature and I accept everyone. You get to the truth, you get to the point, and when all that blocked emotions and feelings and beliefs come up, then you can start dealing with them, you know, in a more spiritual and practical way. And that's what I think that you're going through right now, is that you know these people have something to teach you, but you're frustrated because you can't really find out what that thing is, and you believe that you don't possess their qualities, their negative qualities that you don't like, and you can't find...
Something is irritating. If there's a pee under my mattress, I've got to figure out how to get that pee out of there, because I want peace. And so that's why I'm saying with these people, I had to admit, number one, that, yeah, I wanted something from them. Yeah, I had an agenda, and, yeah, I had expectations. And now when I admit it and I ask the universe for help, because like you said, you ask and it's always given, I'm less and less, okay, I don't want it. Take, for instance, my son. We have a great relationship. Why? It's a peaceful relationship. Why? Because I don't want anything from him. I don't expect anything from him. I don't have an agenda with him. I just want him to be who he is and love who he is. I don't, even as a parent, I don't have an agenda with that boy. So that's what I'm saying. It's a new kind of thing that I'm working with. But yeah,
you basically liberated yourself by training your mind to see love everywhere, and to understand that you are love, and because I am love, nothing else matters, because only love is real.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm so glad to have co-created this with you.
Now I want to say something else, because I actually, when I was reading your articles, I was taking notes. And we have a little bit over an hour, but not too much over. You said, I don't remember which article, but you said,
this includes trying to convince yourself that you're living a reality that you're no longer living, that has nothing to do with what you're currently living. And this is visualization, this is scripting, and this is basically faking it until you make it. And these processes, these law of attraction processes, the fake it till you make it ones, are the most effective ones when you can train your mind to that extent that you can believe that you are a billionaire when you're in debt. And the second place of ease and trust and happiness, then you have raised your vibration to the frequency of your source, and you can, from that state, from that emotional state, you can convince yourself that you can attract something into your life, and therefore you can practice visualization, you can practice scripting, you can fake it until you make it. But only when you raise your vibration to a better feeling state, you can do that. You can't convince yourself that you are living the love of your life when you've just broken up. You need to do the work to go general, to surrender, and to boost your emotional well-being first before you can start visualizing for a new partner and for a new love. And this, I believe, is the key to instant manifestation, to knowing when to use the right law of attraction process to attract something into your life. But as a starting point, releasing, surrendering, and going
to have created the bullying factor. Would you have wanted that? If you were creating your life, would you have created that? Yes or no?
Of course not.
Okay. Would you have created the part about committing suicide? Yes or no?
No.
Okay. So I do not have any control over creating my future at all because I wouldn't have set it up like this. What I do have control over, because this, you know, this is what I believe. I believe for me, and I can't believe, you know, you can believe it's something different, but for me, everything is already set up. The only job I need to do is flow, don't resist, and surrender, and trust. The universe set this, and of course I created it before I even got here, but I have no power to create my future at all. What I can do is I act on inspiration. When inspiration comes to me, I can feel when I'm trying to push something, and I can feel when I'm just inspired to do something. But I do not have any control over what's going to happen in my life, especially specific things coming to me. No, I don't believe that. I think now I do know that I'm the universe, and I set it up prior to getting here, and I know that because I wouldn't have set it up the way it is right now. So I used to believe what you do, what you said, but I don't anymore.
Well, I agree with you at the same time, and I'm going to tell you.
You know what? Wait. You're cutting in and out now. Now the call is I'm getting a lot of static. Hello.
Yes, can you hear me?
Okay, now I can hear you. Yes.
All right, okay. I disagree with you at the same time. I'm going to tell you why. I believe that we came into these challenges offer us a chance to expand even more, to shift our perspective in a way that would allow us to experience life to its fullest, to an even more different way. Therefore, I do believe that we came with a general purpose to go through certain experiences, like, for example, going through all that bullying and wanting to commit suicide. I believe that my soul wanted that experience. But that was it. That was a general framework to experience something. And I later on have the ability to use all that consequence of that general plan to create desires in between. Therefore, yes and no. Yes, there is karma. Yes, your life is set in a particular way, but at the same time, you have the ability to direct your life, to take all that is already set up and take it to an even higher place. Do you get what I mean? Do you get the difference?
I understand what you're saying. I definitely understand what you're saying. But
you have to agree.
Right.
For you, Exactly.
Right. I was just trying to think of an example to show you. You know, Jesus as the man did not want to live out his destiny, but his destiny was to die on that cross. He did not want to do that. That's his destiny. My destiny is whatever it is. I knew it.
We're just saying the same thing in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And aligning with yourself and getting into the vortex and finding your love is to allow the universe to lead you to your destiny.
Well,
I believe that your destiny is always to thrive, to be loved, and to experience life at its fullest.
Right, exactly. And that has nothing to do with visual. For me, it has nothing to do with anything that happens. It has nothing to do with anything that happens to me. In other words, we're on the same page. We're
on the same page.
Yeah, we're definitely on the same page.
Just different teachers, different way to say things, and that's the beauty of it.
I know. I love you.
And I love you, Rebecca.
So where are you? What country are you in right now?
I'm in London right now. I'm studying for
the universe does. He was visiting. Abraham had a seminar 45 minutes away, so we get to the seminar. And people that were there, especially people that were there early, this is your first time, you're going to love it, it's going to be so powerful in the room, you're not going to believe it, blah, on and on and on. And I'm really looking forward to feeling Abraham in the room, and even to the point of, okay, what am I going to ask Abraham? What kind of question am I going to ask him? What can I ask? And I really couldn't come up with a question. I really could not. And my son and I sat in the front row, and seeing Esther there, she's such a cute little lady. Everything on the videos that you see is right on, spot on. And it was, I don't know how many hours it was, 2 hours or so. You had a little break in between, maybe a little bit longer. And there were great questions, people coming.
That's probably because you were already up to that high vibrational speed before you came in, or is it so?
Well, you're right there, but there's more. Abraham and the whole energies of Abraham, I'm sorry, but they're up there doing absolutely nothing but feeling good. They're on their high flying disc. They're flowing. They're sharing with us how we can do it also.
And they expect you to take that love and imbue it into the specificity of your life. And whereas this is frustrating for us going through the actual real stuff, the negative stuff of life, it is actually very liberating to see someone who exudes that positivity in a more general way, and it invites us, in my opinion, it invites me when I see Esther being so positive and so happy, when I see Abraham talking about every fairy, stuff.
Yeah.
It inspires me. What inspires me in that is to take some of that generality of the emotion and take it into my specificity, the specificity of my life. Therefore, whenever I am in that library and struggling over some mathematical equation, for example, Abraham invites me to take a break, take 5 minutes to go for a nature walk, or to close my eyes and take a deep breath and to go general and to find that general constant energy of pure positive love and abundance and invincibility and happiness that flows constantly through me, to reconnect with that general aspect of me that is always loving, that is always empowerment, and that is always every very beautiful, happy unicorn candy.
That's right. Now
you invite me to find that love.
That's right.
In the drama of our life.
That's right. That's right. And so, but you understand what I'm saying about that, right? Yeah. But definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I feel frustrated many times when I.
You have to, and I won't accept anything other than yes, I will.
Oh, yes, I will. Of course, I will. Rebecca, it was such a co-creative experience, and I don't know about you, but I feel empowered. I feel much more empowered than before I started the show. And that's amazing to know that we've interacted in this positive way to uplift ourselves in this powerful and loving way. And thank you for that.
Yeah, it's always, and I feel the same. I feel the same. It's always great to connect with, spell it again.
Physical, metalizos.com.
Perfect, perfect. I love it, and I love you, and thank you so much. I'm going to email you as soon as I close out the show. Thank you so much for being on Reality Spirituality, George.
I'm so glad here for you, Rebecca. Thank you so much.
And we are complete. I want to thank all my guests. Thank you, all my guests. I want to thank my guests, and I want to thank all my listeners for listening to Reality Spirituality. And if you want to contact me, you can always email me at info@RebeccaNorrington.com. You can follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. And if you like Reality Spirituality, like our Facebook page. Reality Spirituality is on Facebook. And my website is Rebecca Norrington, RebeccaNorrington, Norrington.com, and you can go to my website and sign up for my free monthly newsletter, which is coming out in November. There's going to be so much great information, and I'm answering a question that I received in email this week, and it's so amazing. The question is amazing, and the answer is going to be even more amazing. So you've been listening to Reality Spirituality, and remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey.